Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
G&D taking you up to 6:30 tonight. NBA draft coverage begins at that time with Overtime, our NBA draft special presentation. We got Linnell Willingham on site with Chris Nockey tonight. Should be fun to get you a live broadcast. You're going to hear from members of the Wizards organization, maybe even the pick, depending on when it's made. They are on the clock at number 10. We'll get back into your thoughts and calls. Trying to figure out if you are still rocking with the Commanders now, or are you just in it to win it forever? It has been a long time coming since you got some bang for your buck. But speaking of the NBA draft, want to go to the BetQL guest hotline, bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app today. Visit BetQL.com. Chris Caputo is the head basketball coach at George Washington University. He was actually at Mason when I was at Mason, not as a student. He was a coach then under Jim Larrañaga. Then he went to Miami before coming back to the area with GW now to run his own staff as a head man. So first of all, congratulations,
Coach,
and welcome back to the D.C. area.
What's happening, guys? How you doing? We got George Mason guy and a GW guy, so that kind of encapsulates my time in D.C.
Yeah, well, now we just need to hire someone from the U to come sit with us or produce the show or something like that.
Exactly.
Love it. So let's jump into this draft tonight, Coach. You saw a couple of these guys that are going in the lottery up close and personal.
Sure.
Let's start with the top of that board in Paolo Banchero at Duke. How'd you guys contend with him? What was the plan? What kind of players are you going to be?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Paolo and Jabari Smith.
That's right. Yeah,
we beat Auburn in the tournament. But you know, Paolo obviously is a guy we knew so much about. You know, coming into the season, he was so heralded as a high school player. I believe his mom was a great player at the University of Washington. We won at Cameron, beat them at Cameron, and then they got us in the ACC tournament, the semifinal. And you know, the thing I would say is, you know, he's really a jack of all trades. He can do a lot of different things, especially at his size. He can, he can make plays, although he can be turnover prone. He's a very good driver, powerful player, very good athlete. Obviously, I think he's got great touch. He shot, I would say, good percentages, not great percentages, but I think he's got an opportunity as a shooter going forward. I guess the question on Paolo is, I think he's probably the safe bet, right? Like as a starter in the NBA, where is his upside in terms of, is he a guy that does anything at the highest levels? No, but I think he's really good at a lot of different things. Maybe the one thing, you know, you'd like a little bit more out of him is his rebounding for a guy his size. But in general, you know, I think a really good player. And then, you know, Jabari Smith is a guy, you know, when we watched him right before we're getting ready to play them, we beat USC, and then they're playing Jacksonville State. And, man, the thing that jumps out is just how clean of a stroke he has. His three-point shooting is, beautiful, you know. It really is 40% on a lot of attempts. For a guy 6'9", who also is a bit of a defensive presence, is a shot blocker. So he's probably the guy, maybe, you know, as it relates to the modern game, a front court player who can make threes and defend multiple positions. He's really proven to be able to do that at the college level.
Which is why it seems like a certainty at this point that he's going number one to the Orlando Magic. I mean, Woj ends up having most of the first round before it happens. He's already linking Jabari Smith 1. They've got Paolo Banchero going 3 to the Rockets. The sandwich guy there, right. I don't think you guys ever were anywhere near, and that's Chet Holmgren Gonzaga across the country.
No.
But what a unique game he has. The first time I saw him, My thought was, no one's ever looked like this to me and played the way he does.
It's so unique.
What's your thought on him?
You know, he's such a great defender and finisher at the college level. You know, you look at the numbers, I think he was literally the highest rated defensive player in college basketball. Shot blocking ability is just his presence near the rim. And then obviously his ability to finish plays, how big he is, how, you know, he's athletic, near the rim, quick jumping. You know, he does some things on the perimeter at his size that are really incredible. And yet, you know, you look at him as a physically, he's so thin. You know, can he be a consistent jump shooter, playmaker? You know, he's not KD. He's not a guy who's going to, you know, go create his own shot off the dribble and then bury jumpers. He is, as you guys said, there's really nobody like him. And so, you know, how to project out, I don't know. He's a hard one because he's so unique. And yet, you know, the talent level is, you know, screams at you. It's just, man, you know, the NBA likes comparisons. There's not a lot of comparisons for him.
New GW men's basketball coach Chris Caputo joins us here on G&D, breaking down some draft prospects here tonight. I want to stay with the other Duke guys before we go with kind of the rest of the draft at large, coach. I first watch your report on A.J. Griffin. That guy's buckets. When he's on the court, and that's what I'm going here in a second, he can score. He's a really good shooter. He had some big shots for Duke, but I'm worried about the injury stuff. And then Mark Williams, kind of a throwback to when I was a kid, when centers were centers, man. She's just here to dunk it through the hoop as hard as anyone's ever dunked on anything. Give me your thoughts on those two guys.
Yeah, you know, A.J. Griffin, I saw him when he was in high school a good bit. You know, obviously dealt with some injuries there. We played against him. I think it was his first game back when we beat them at Cameron. Mm-hmm. And then he played very, very well in Brooklyn against us in the semifinal. Really might have been the difference in the game, a couple of plays that he made. One of the youngest guys in the draft, obviously a very talented shooter, although his form is a little bit funny. He's got such a wide base. But statistically, I think he shot the ball a very high percentage. And then, you know, his athleticism and just his body, his size, screams NBA even from the time he was a real youngster. And you know, obviously his dad was an NBA player. His mom was, maybe an All-American track athlete at Seton Hall. So he's got great bloodlines. The injury is something that I have heard, you know, teams somewhat concerned about. A lot of times that can knock you down a few pegs in the draft, even if somebody wants to take you. You know, quite frankly, the doctors won't let them take you. I remember we had Lonnie Walker in 2018 at Miami, and I remember the night of I spoke to San Antonio, you know, the night of the draft. But prior to that, speaking with R.C. Buford, you know, the general manager, you know, and he kind of said, hey, our team's concerned about Lonnie's injury. I said, yeah, I'm here, and they are. He said, well, I want to be, you know, at 18, the one to make a decision on that. Whereas I think maybe some of the teams at 11, 12, who also need a guard, their doctors just plainly wouldn't let them make a decision. They wanted them to pass. So, you know, AJ could be in that category. Mark Williams is, you know, for a guy 7 feet, man, he's a really great defender. He moves his feet at a very high level for a guy 7 feet. That's a concern a lot of times in this day and age with all the five out that's being played, that the perimeter players, you know, dominate the game and make it really difficult for big guys to get taken away from the basket. And yet Mark Williams, I think, is a guy who really can affect the game defensively, can move his feet much better than you think, block shots, a capable jump shooter from 15 feet, does not shoot the three. Again, that's probably somewhat of a concern, but he is a throwback. But he's a guy that is very, very effective and also one of the, you know, one of the young guys in the draft. And I'm a fan of Mark Williams. I think he's a guy who can make an impact in the NBA. It's got to be the right situation with a team that maybe is playing some true centers.
Chris Caputo was with us, GW's head coach. Just spent about a decade in Miami with Jim Larrañaga. And yeah, to my what I looked up, I have Shane Larkin, Devon Reed, Lonnie Walker, Bruce Brown, and DeJuan Hernandez as the guys you guys got drafted during that time. So he knows a thing or two about getting these players ready for the NBA draft. One more name I want to throw at you, because you guys coached against him at the end of the year. In fact, unfortunately, Kansas knocked you off in the Elite Eight. You guys had an incredible run.
What a run, yeah.
But OJ Agbaji, I don't understand why he's being mocked right now. I'm seeing him anywhere from like 16 to 22. And I know it's not as simple as like, where did he rank among college players last year? But that's weird to me. This is a hell of a player. Why do you think there's a chance he doesn't go in the top 15?
Yeah, I mean, I love him. He is older, right? I don't know exactly how old you guys would have to look at, but I think he's, you know, certainly over 21. Either he's 21 some number of months or he's 22. And there's just a bias against those guys. And, you know, unfortunately, there's a little bit of a history of some of these, you know, seniors that were having great, 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 great college senior years, getting picked in the lottery and them not working out. So there's just a little bit of a track record there. I hate, you know, analytics can be a dirty word sometimes, but I think that's where the analytics people come in and say, look, there's just a long history of these guys not working out with high picks. And yet, you know, this is a guy who's NBA ready, his body's ready, his shooting ability, his athleticism, his defensive toughness is all there. He's not a playmaker. He's not a creator, but he's a great 3-and-D guy with tremendous size. I'd bet on him, especially as a guy that you can plug in, you know, like as a 3-and-D player on a really good team.
Coach, we were talking with a couple of my producers earlier, and you know, Sacramento came up, and the fact that they were they passed on Luka Doncic and picked a guy named Marvin Bagley Jr. That's not everybody's got those kind of misses, but the point was twofold. One, oh my God, they could have had Luka, but point two, how is someone like Marvin Bagley not incredible? You know what I mean? Like it's one of those things where the guy's 6'10", soft touch around the rim, athletic, can shoot, can do anything you'd want on a basketball court, and sometimes those guys just don't thrive. And I guess what I want to ask big picture is, going from that college level to the NBA, there's no one good reason every time, right? But I'm always amazed how dudes that could absolutely ball out at one level and somehow doesn't translate at all into the next level, and they're always kind of brought up as footnotes for, you know, for GMs making mistakes.
It's funny, you know, that year Phoenix picked DeAndre Ayton, and they had hired his Luka's national team coach as their head coach, Igor, and yet they passed on him to pick DeAndre Ayton. So they weren't the only ones, obviously. And, right. And obviously, you know, Phoenix has done an incredible job with their program, and DeAndre Ayton's been a very good player. Although I heard they're not going to, you know, maybe extend the extension for the rookie. I don't know if that's the max or what have you, but yeah. Look, I think the games are different. That's the first thing, right? Because the rules are different. The shot clock, the lane, and things like that. I think secondly, you know, look, the NBA is a very difficult and grueling league with 82 games plus the playoffs. You know, we always talk to guys about, look, like, you know, hey, you think you can play in the NBA? They all think yes. The next question is, well, who are you taking off their roster? And the guy asks you, like, well, what do you mean? So like, well, in order for you to make it, the first thing you have to do is take someone's job from them, because this is not college. Guys aren't graduating. It's not like guys are retiring every year. There's a grown man in there with a family and a very nice paycheck. You're going to have to go knock on his locker and tell him to get out. And in order to do that, you know, you've got to be physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually tough and prepared for that type of competition. And so maybe when it's come a little bit easier to guys as they were younger, when they start to run into some of these roadblocks that are going to inevitably occur at the NBA level, it's foreign to them. It's new to them. That's why I think you see sometimes, you know, the undrafted guys or the guys in the second round, you know, have some success, because I think they've been used to that adversity, you know, throughout their careers. Whereas a lot of the, you know, a lot of the McDonald's All-Americans and guys who are rated very, very high, you know, they haven't faced a lot of adversity in their basketball careers, and really haven't faced it for a long, long time, because they've been kind of propped up from such a young age. So,
well, Chris, the insight's been great. Before we let you go, we'd be remiss if we didn't ask you a little bit about your new gig. So before we do, how are things going so far at GW?
Everything's great. You know, obviously for me, it's just a thrill to be back, you know, in the DMV, at GW. As you guys know, you know, when we go to the Final Four in 2006, people forget GW was like 27-3 and in the top 10 in the country. Coach Hobbs had it rolling. You know, GW's, you know, been to Sweet 16, won the NIT, been the NCAA tournament multiple times. You know, there's a great history here. There's so many good players in the DMV. It's a great place for international players, a great place for transfers. You know, we're one of the best 65 schools in America. There's so much to sell, so much to be excited about. We've got some work to do, but my staff and I are you know, really excited, and I haven't had a bad day at work since I've been here. We've got tremendous leadership at the university level with, you know, Mark Wright and our president and Tanya Vogel, athletic director. And I think everyone here is yearning to have a packed Smith Center and a great environment and high level basketball in a town that loves college basketball. So I'm thrilled. I'm excited. And I hopefully we get you guys out. You know, you guys come out and see us.
Oh, without question, I'll be there. First of all, Coach, GP sleeps on Pops Mensah-Bonsu and J.R. Pinnock.
Sure, I sleep.
You sleep on Maurice Rice, guy.
Pops, I don't sleep on. The other names you're naming, I sleep on those comfortably.
Mike Hall played for the Wizards. Coach, please tell Tanya Vogel I said hello, man. I'll see you soon, okay?
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Congrats, bud.
Be well. There is Chris Caputo, who great information on the NBA draft, and excited for him to get that gig at GW. All right, to wrap things up here in our final few minutes, people have been waiting patiently, so let's go lightning round, squeeze as many in as we can. Wanted to react to this idea that if you're still a Commanders fan, you're probably in it forever. Pete in Arlington, you are with us on G&D. How's it going?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
Doing good. You heard the convo we were having about you've stuck through this much. Is there anything now that could knock you off the wagon here?
I would say no. And I think the main reason for me is I'm just all DC, everything for sports. I grew up going to Nats games and Caps games and Wizards games and Redskins games with my dad and other friends and stuff. So I don't know. There's nothing that could knock it off for me. But that being said, though, it has definitely dampened my fandom of the team compared to the other DC sports teams, especially compared to the Nationals.
That's actually a really good way to put it. Insightful call. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
People are still fans of the team, but maybe have moved them down in the pecking order. The passion for the Caps and the Nats over the years has risen without that happening for the Commanders. Hadn't thought of it that way. William's in Manassas. Hey, William.
Hey, how are you?
What's up, bud?
So, basically, growing up, me and my dad, we would go watch the games every Sunday down in my basement. But what really killed it for him was when RG3 got hurt in the Seahawks game in the playoffs in 2013. That really killed him. And he was never really a fan after that. I still always love the team. I follow the odds and everything. But what he said to me last year was, after the Rams game, he said, they always find a way to lose.
Thanks, buddy.
Make it hurt. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like they will find a way to likely make it hurt. Ann's in Arlington. Hey, Ann.
Hey, hi there. I'm stuck with my team forever. Still an American, even though I don't think our leadership has been the best number of years. And that's the same thing with our organization of the Redskins Commanders. And I couldn't call myself a fan of another team. It wouldn't be true.
Well, that would be what you're doing, right? Is you're kind of pretending to try to chase what you once had
in
Washington.
Yeah, I could also say, I don't care anymore. I'm allowed to say that. It's not true. You know what I mean? I could pretend I put on some sort of weird facade. It's bogus. You know, I can act like I don't care or try to root for another team. I could never do that.
If you missed any part of our show, including our interview with Mike Florio, Tony Massenberg on tonight's NBA draft, go to thefandc.com, grantanddanny.com/audio. Our NBA draft coverage and overtime gets underway in just a moment on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.